Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This scripture expresses the heart of God, his great love for humanity, and how what seems to us to be a slowness, and we become anxious. He's telling us that he's giving time for those who need to repent, to turn to God. John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The scripture too encourages us that we do not have to be anxious about anything, that the Lord has already overcome the world despite the troubles we see in the world. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This scripture passage tells us that Jesus ran his race before us, and he did not give up. He ran with great endurance and accomplished what he had set out to accomplish. And this should encourage us. He's gone before us. And now it's time for us to run our race to the end without giving up. I'll begin reading the word. Run the race undaunted. Do not be concerned with those things taking place around you, says the Lord. Do not let them drag you down. You know that there is victory in Christ Jesus, that my promises are yes and amen. So keep your eyes on me and you will be stabilized. Come into agreement with my word, with the truth that I have overcome the world. And yes, though the enemy plots and schemes, with one breath I am able to topple his kingdom. Understand that those things being played out are as with puppets on a stage. And though the act goes on, it is not reality, for who can defy the living God? Though the people plot, they plot in vain, for I have my plot and agenda being worked out amongst the nations, says the Lord, and my plan is to bring the nations to the foot of the cross. My desire is that none should perish, and so in this day I am shaking the nations, for they have put their trust and security in what their hands have built, and do not acknowledge my lordship over the earth. My intention is to shake loose security in these things, and to bring every man, woman, and child to their knees, crying out to me, the only true God. For yes, I am a jealous God, and will not tolerate any other gods. So do not be alarmed by this shaking, but understand that I am working out my promises in and through it, says the Lord. I am bringing in the harvest in preparation for my imminent return. Stay focused on me and continue to acknowledge me in all your ways. Be assured that I am doing a good work, and be confident in my faithfulness to my word and in my love for you, for I will never leave or forsake my own. This is a short word this morning. but I believe it is a message, once again, of encouragement to us not to be anxious in the timing of things, because the Lord is allowing time for the unrepentant to hear the gospel message and to receive it. And he's allowing the shaking and using it for the purpose of bringing in his harvest. If we can understand this, we can run our race with endurance, recognizing that the Lord has indeed overcome the world, and there's nothing stopping us from reaching the end and gaining the prize. Thank you for listening today. I hope you will be encouraged by this word and that you will keep your eyes on the Lord and keep going forward in all the Lord has asked you to do, and to enjoy the benefits of being in Christ. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, mighty God, mighty Jesus. Mighty, mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What an awesome, awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's hour. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you for each one of those that have been praying for us. Thank you for your prayer. Highly appreciate it, as we also been praying for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I hope everyone can hear me fine tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord's given me a word for tonight. Thank you, Brother Benjamin. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, that, hallelujah, I would like to share with God's people. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Sister Michelle, shalom each and one of you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve, brother and sister. He loves us so much, and he knows that we need him more than ever. And as the prophet was saying from the Lord, God is looking for us to humble ourselves before him. If not, he'll use anything to humble us. Okay? I believe the coronavirus vaccine was God to humble people in such a way where people will cry out back to him, my brother and sister. Let me show you an example. The virus coronavirus was for God to awaken the sleeper. 2020 is the right vision. Okay? 2020 is where we see fine. If you're 2020, you don't need glasses. Okay? You don't need a veil. You don't need anything to see. You can see. Okay? 2020 is where God opened your eyes. In 2020, God uses virus to open our eyes, my brother and sister. 2 Chronicles 12:5. I want to show you something there. The Bible says that they came to Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam, to the prince of Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore Lord have also left you in the hand of Shishak. Hallelujah. You forsaking God, God will forsake you and leave you in the hand of your enemy. God saying to them, I left you in the hand of Shishak. Shishak sounds like the name of a fallen Nephilim. Okay, I told you that when we did the Genesis study about the name of the angel, Shishak, Shanae, there were several names we mentioned that were sons and daughters of the Nephilim. Shishak, okay? It means bad, evil. Whereupon the prince of Israel and the king humbled himself, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And so after 20 20 and 21 is for the nation turn back to God and say, the Lord is righteous. We were blind to what the enemy was cooking behind door, what the enemy was preparing behind door. We were blind to the plan of the enemy. We were supposed to see. That's why Jesus said, pray and watch in regard to the coming of the Son of Man. We were supposed to be praying and watching. But somehow we fell asleep. And we were not watching as we were supposed to. So then came the virus in 2020. Okay? Unseen. People realized that the virus was in after it was in. Unseen. Okay? Hallelujah. Because these type of weapon of the enemy, vile weapon or unseen weapon. And so the enemy's been preparing since the 40 and 50 vile weapons through his tool, the government's unseen weapon. But God will show them to us as we stay humble. Okay? Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled himself, and then they said, the Lord is righteous. The Lord is righteous. You know, you want to see what's in the dark? Bring in the light. Bring in the light. And then you can see, oh, okay. Oh, some people say, there's my glasses. Oh, there's my 20 that I lost. And the light you can see. Okay? It could be dark. It don't matter how dark it is. Bring in the light. Bring in a flashlight. And you can see. Okay? 2020 begins. People are not seeing as they're supposed to. The virus comes in because it's bio. And you say, but brother, how are we supposed to see vile weapons? The glass of God is so big. The eyes of God is so big that nothing goes unseen. If we see him through God's eyes, we're going to see clear, my brother insisted. But the problem, if you're disconnected from God, you're not seeing through the Spirit anymore. You're seeing through your own eye. And through our own eye, we're like the blind following the blind. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Verse 7. And when the Lord saw that they humbled himself, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves. Therefore, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. Some. A piece. Some is a piece. Okay? Some is a little. I will grant them a little. I will grant them a piece. A small amount. Notice that it's not in total. But people want to see total. Total. God's granting you a piece. Take whatever piece is giving you and walk away with it. Thank you, Lord. Take your piece and walk away. I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall now be poured upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Okay? Sounds like God repented because he declared the judgment. And then after they humbled themselves, wait a minute. Shishak was the evil one that God said he was going to use. Okay? Allow. If they were trusting this fallen one, God will allow them to fall into his lie and deceive. But at this moment, God says, after they humbled himself. Because when the calling of God comes through his prophet, what God is expecting for you and I to do from his spirit is for us to humble ourselves. Not wait, don't put it off. Don't say, well, another day. Humble yourself. Begin to repent. Begin to cry out. Begin to say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive us, God, Lord, for not listening to you, for not preparing, for not being ready. Because Jesus, you said, be ready of all time. Because you don't know the day and hour when the Son of Man will return, he says. Be ye ready. He also told us, be ye not deceived. And if we see through his eyes, we're not deceived because we can see what the enemy is bringing. But probably it's bile. We can see it. It don't matter how small it is or how big it is. It don't matter how small or how big it is. We can see it through his eyes because God sees all. God knows all. Thank you, Lord. Nevertheless, hallelujah, they should be his servant, that they may know my service in the service of the kingdom of the country. So Caesar, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. This fallen one, Shishak, looks like they have many demons ruling Egypt. This is another king that came later. That was the fallen Naphtalians. No wonder they call him the God of Egypt. Oh, prepare for the coming of the God of Egypt. They got several books up there online on Amazon. Prepare for the return of the God of Egypt. These are the fallen Naphtalians. People are already waiting for them. They're already making their temple. So sad, my brother and sister. What society? And God's going to release them from the pit during the great tribulation. And they're going to come over and rule over people. And as I tell them, say, bow to me. If not, I will make you bow to me. This fallen Naphtalian was saying to the people in the great tribulation. They're coming out, my brothers and sisters. And they have a name. And this one name is Shishak. He's a bad one. It's an evil one. He's not even talking about his army. He did have an army. This king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem. His army is not even mentioned. He came up. He was a bad one. This is a bad one. This is a fallen one that the people were dealing with. And you know, and the people staying behind are going to have to deal with these demons. So you got to know them by the word of God. And as long as you humble to the Lord, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Simply how it is. Thank you, Lord. And the king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem, took away the treasure of the house of the Lord. They know what is value. They know how wealthy they can come with what people have. They get released from the pit in the great tribulation. They come to take your treasure. Daniel 11. He went to Egypt, Daniel 11 said, and he got the gold of Egypt, the treasure of Egypt. Daniel 11, read it. This is what these fallen ones are looking for when they come out of the pit. Well, we want to dominate humanity. Let's take their treasure. Let's take their wealth. Okay? And they'll do whatever we say. They'll go hungry. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasure of the house of the Lord, the treasure of the king of the house. He took all. Leave them a piece at least. Leave them literally so they can eat. No, he took them all. They don't care for you. They don't care for humanity. The humanity talking to them through CERN, think that they're their friends. They're telling humanity now because they're bound. They're bound unto God's say so. Father told me in the third heaven, for us, for his children, not to worry about them. Father said, because they are not going. Father says this to me. Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim says this to me. In the third heaven, for us to worry about them, because they will only be released when we are taken out of the way. I'll take my children home first, he says. Okay? I will bring you home, and then I will release them. Simply. The bride had nothing to do with them. But we need to teach about them because there is a humanity. There is a backsliding, lukewarm church staying behind who's going to have to encounter them and go through a lot of trouble. Shalom, Sister Renee. A lot of trouble. A hard time is coming. Okay? Hard time is coming. They took it all. He carried away also the shield of God which Solomon had made. This was a shield of gold, I'm sorry, not a gold, that Solomon had said, very valuable. They didn't care, he took it. And their Stekina Rohan made a shield, a brass committed to them, to the hand of the chief of the guard who kept the entrance of the king of the house. Okay? And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them, brought them again into the guard of the chamber. And when he had humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he will not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, Hallelujah. Judah, things went well. Notice that the Lord puts a stop to them. God said, wait. You think you're going to go there and kill my servant? No, that's not going to happen. He just humbled himself. Step back. When God is involved in your life, when there's God and these Nephtalim want to come again to, God said, wait a minute, hold on. What do you think you're doing? Step back. And they take a step back and say, oh, no, that's the Almighty. Watch out. The Almighty, walk away. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. That's the moment God said, wait, okay, I'm not going to destroy them. As I said I will leave a remnant. That he will not destroy him altogether. See, God put his wrath. These Nephilim do evil to humanity, to the president, to the government. The president, the leaders talking to them through CERN. So, under the wrath of God, if God turns his wrath away, these demons have no choice but to stay put, go away. Okay? The wrath of God is on the earth right now, by the United States in the earth. Okay? They're starting into talking to our president, our government, our leaders, my brother and sister, that he will not destroy him altogether. Also in Judah, things went well. After that, things changed. It went well. It was going worse, losing gold, the shield of gold. They were losing everything under the wrath of God. When God turned his wrath, they said the Nephilim could do no more. The king of Egypt, this fallen Shishak, fallen demon, could not do any more harm. God can set a limit to them when we are repenting and humbling ourselves to him, to God. My brother and sister, the fallen one can do nothing else. But we have to turn to God. Turn to our God. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus gave me a vision this week. He showed me that there will be a doctor here in the United States. It's where he was showing me this vision. That's going to come out with a medicine, I believe it is, or a vaccine, that is going to make put a U-turn on the coronavirus vaccine. Put it on reverse. Remove all the effect, the DNA, and all the stuff that this coronavirus vaccine is doing, the nanotechnology, it will reverse it, is what the Lord showed me. It will reverse all that. And as Jesus was showing me this, and I saw thousands of people here, they were Christians, servants of the Lord, that were running to take this other vaccine, other medication, to overturn the coronavirus vaccine. I was seeing it. Jesus was standing next to me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, is this valid? If they repent, and the Lord said, yes. The Lord says, if they repent, okay, there will be like a vaccine, a medication that is going to overturn the coronavirus vaccine, my brother and sister. Okay, like it just happened here. Shishak was coming into the temple to destroy the king of Judah, my brother and sister, in this timing. And God turned his wrath. God's wrath is on the United States. The Lord is praying like you cannot even imagine for this country, for the people. He loves the United States. He loves his people. Mercy, it's a door of mercy. Brother Miguel says the right word. It's an opening of the door of mercy. Hope. My brother and sister. Because I was thinking, I said, man, if this continues to go the way it's going, it will be exactly like in the days of Noah. 8 people got saved. Here in the United States, will be like in the days of Noah. How many people are going to be saved? They're already close to what? I don't remember the last number. Okay, we only have 325 million people in the United States. And by July, September the most, everybody will be vaccinated. Joe Biden just put an announcement this past week. To them that are not taking the vaccine, a threat. He threatened. I was saying to my wife, listen for Biden, threatening those that will not take the vaccine. That they're pulling other people's lives in dangerous, according to Joe Biden. Okay? That means they're planning to go after those that are not being vaccinated. very soon. This is Joe Biden administration planning this, my brother and sister. The doors that are not taken to by sin. But we serve God, and God is mightier than him. And when God says to, like he said to the Shishak, fallen demon from hallelujah, from Egypt, that's it. Shalom, Brother Michael, that's it. So if they're Christians, the Lord showed me Christians who have been vaccinated, running to take this other Bicene or medication. Okay, I couldn't see if it was a Bicene or medication. To be honest, I was standing outside with the Lord next to me. I was at the right hand of Jesus standing. Jesus was standing next to me. We were seeing this multitude here in the United States go taking either, it was a medication, it's like a Bicene. I'm not sure which of the two it is. But they were going to this doctor, okay, and he was giving them this. I believe a Christian doctors. It might not even be Christian, but he was giving them a Bicene medication that was overturning the coronavirus Bicene and all its effects. My brother says this changing of the DNA, it was undoing it. It was undoing it. Oh, hallelujah. It's turning, putting it back to how it was again. And I asked the Lord about these people, if it was valid, I said to Jesus. And he says, if they repent sincerely, okay, yes. And this is what he said afterward. He says, because it's not, the last for God, this is God, this is God's, this is what he led me to understand and what he gave me to understand. Okay? And answer that, I don't know. That could be yes. Yes, it's mercy endure forever. What he was showing me was that the great tribulation is the marked day when it begins, where that's it. Because there's no grace after that. That's the end of grace. Okay? So in the, before here, whatever time is left for the great tribulation, whatever is left, whatever month, whatever weeks, whatever days are left, I don't know how much we have left. In between that time, people can go and take this other Bicene or other medication, overturn the effect of the first one, and then, boom, they're back to normal. They can repent. The Lord will forgive them. That's it. The Lord says, if they repent from all their heart, if they truly repent, that's what he says. So there it goes, my brother and sister. They can remove this Bicene from their body. And the Lord, because there are people who's been vaccinated that are crying back to Jesus of his people. And he hears them. And, you know, that was the first thing he was showing me in this vision this week. Okay? And, wow. This is, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I apologize for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. And of course, they'll do that. They're going to make the internet, they're going to lower the speed, they're going to do whatever. Because this message is too important. It's too important. After the Lord giving me this message and I plan to come online to share this, I got sick. Just to tell you how this been. I haven't gotten sick in years. Okay, I haven't gotten sick in a year like this. I got so sick. It was like this testimony I heard from this man of God, that God's giving him a message to come and share, and he was killed. He was killed. And the Lord has to bring him back because he was killed. The enemy sent one to kill him. Okay, I felt this week that I was dying. I'll be honest with you. My family even called me from New Jersey, from the Dominican Republic. My wife was on the phone with them. I was so sick. I thought I was going to die this week. I'm being honest. I'm not lying to you a bit. I told my brother, I told my sister, my wife may send you an invitation for the funeral. That's how sick I was. My whole body hurt. I even thought it was coronavirus, but I was praying and rebuking this stuff, my brother and sister. And I said, it cannot be. No plague will touch thy dwelling. Psalm 91. We'll enter into thy dwelling. And I praying, rebuking, claiming by the Striped by Jesus, I was healed. So sick, my brothers. And I know a lot of brothers and sisters are praying for me, but I felt so sick. I felt I was going to die. After the Lord gave me this revelation to share, hallelujah, to share with his people about this overturning of the Mycene, the enemy would not want me to come on the air and share this. He will not. He was trying to do everything in his limited little power to try to stop me to come on the air and share this. My brother and sister, that I had to ask the Lord to help me, and really, I said, Lord, I need you really to help me. I was saying on Friday, thinking on Thursday and saying on Friday, I don't know if I can come on Sunday on the air. I don't know where what strength I'm going to get up from this bed and go to the office and come on the microphone. My brother and sister, okay? Because I was really sick. After the Lord is giving me this revelation to share that the Mycene will be overturned to those that will sincerely, will truly repent. Okay? There will be a medication, will be like another Mycene, to overturn the effect of the coronavirus Mycene. When the enemy knew that the Lord has given me this message, he went off the roof. He will not have any, that I will come on the air and share this. Hallelujah. Yes. My brother and sister, everything, it's like the internet is going crazy. My cell phone going crazy. Everything, my brother and sister. Okay? It's just so crazy. He did not want me to come on the air. He did not want me to share this information. And I was so sick. I thought I was going to die. Contacted my sister, who is a nurse. Hallelujah. And God has been the one. His mercy, the Lord. I really went to the Lord and said, Lord, you really need to help me here. You know, because when you're on the bed, you cannot even move. And you are in pain from the top of the head to the bottom of your feet. Pain of death. And I've been there twice already. So I can tell you how to feel when you're dying. Because I've been there twice. Okay? And I was at the border of dying where my body cannot anymore. My wife was scared. Called my family. My mom talked to her. My mom was talking to me. Still today, my mom was concerned. Okay? She thinking blood pressure, cholesterol. I mean, she's thinking all kinds of things. And she did not want me to die. My brother and sister. God used me to resurrect her 4 times. Bring her back alive. And so who's God going to use in the family to bring me back alive? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But it's the Lord, mercy. Just when I thought it was over, you know what I was thinking? Maybe the Lord's bringing me home. But I didn't realize that this message to the devil is so destroying to his plan. Because his plan is, well, God said to him to tell the people that those that are vaccinated are it. That's it. They cannot come back to the throne of God. They cannot be safe. But then the Lord opens a window of mercy again. Because when the Lord, according to Jesus, we're not in the great tribulation, the enemy is going off the roof. Because his plan is to get everyone vaccinated 100%. If he gets everyone vaccinated, everybody is in trouble. That's why the Bible says, those days will not sure, not even the elect will be safe. In the enemy plan, he's celebrating. Hallelujah. He said, okay, there you go. Pray. You see how important it is? Do you see how important this message is? People are telling me they cannot hear me. Message is being blocked. Message. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bind no demon and no principality from the air, hell, heavenly place, and all the earth. In Jesus' name, north to south, east to west, hallelujah, up and down. In Jesus' name, we bind. Lord Jesus, all demon, rebuke unto the lower power of hell. We accuse the accuser in Jesus' name to be bound. In Jesus' name, for this doing, mighty Lord, mighty God. Mighty Yeshua, I thank you, Jesus,
sent billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel, Lord Jesus. Fight for us, Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We claim your word and promise in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Yahshua. So you see how important the message is. See how important it is. It's being blocked. It's being blocked. Why is it being blocked? Thank you, Jesus. Because it's important. The devil doesn't like this message going out. He has done everything he can to try to block it. Why? For that reason. Because people will hear this, and those that have been vaccinated, that have been crying out to the Lord, can now overturn their vaccination and get a chance to go home. And we know brothers and sisters have been vaccinated. He has got opportunity for them. And so the enemy, my Lord, hallelujah, he's not happy. He's not happy. He doesn't want this to happen. Doesn't want people. Hallelujah. The Lord shared with me. The Lord took me to a place here, like a clinical hospital, where people were taking like a vaccine medication. We were standing, Jesus and I were both standing outside as people was coming out of this place, taking this medication that was overturning the effect of the coronavirus vaccine. Completely changing everything back. Overturning everything is the word. My brother and sister. All, everything, the RDNA, the mRNA, everything that the vaccine was doing to people's DNA, the nanotechnology, all that was being overturned with these other vaccine medications. Okay? And so, when this was happening, I said to Jesus, the people that were taking those medications to overturn, and these were people that were Christians, he was showing me. And I said, Lord, is this valid? The Lord was standing next to me. Jesus was standing next to me. And he said, yes, if they repent, if they truly repent of the word of Jesus, okay? Yes, he says. And so this to me, it's awesome. It's great. Now, don't run to take the vaccine and say, I'll take the medication later. Don't tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Remember that. It's for those that have taken the vaccine, okay, they can go and take this other vaccine or medication and remove all that effect of the overturn all that other stuff. And the Lord say yes if they truly repent. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I have to say this, Brother Miguel, because some people will do it. They will run out to take the vaccine for a few months and say, I'll take the other one later when it's available. No. Don't do such a thing. This is the mercy of the Lord, okay, that we read throughout the Bible, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Let me see. There's another verse I have. In Deuteronomy 23:5, listen to this. Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam. But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord God loves you. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it's mercy. Hallelujah. It's mercy. Endure forever. Nevertheless, the Lord your God will not be willing to listen to Balaam. For the Lord your God turned. This is what the new vaccine or new medication is going to do to the coronavirus vaccine. It's going to overturn everything that is done on those Christians that have taken the vaccine. And the Lord Jesus said, when they truly repent, then okay. Okay? Because I asked him, he was standing next to me, my brother and sister. When the Lord given me this word, I knew immediately that Satan was very angry at this. Okay? And he came with everything he could. I was in bed dying this week, dying. My wife is a witness. He called my family, tell them what was happening. I was sick. Some people say sick like a dog. I was sick in bed, my brother and sister. And it went through my mind. I should email my brothers and sisters to pray for me. But I already know some of my brothers and sisters are already praying. Thank you, Lord. And I you know, it goes through your mind so much stuff, okay? And what's a new medication, sister says? God in his throne has all those details. I don't. Okay? It's going to come soon. It's going to come soon. Okay? And people are going to run and take it. I don't know what it is, sister. I don't know. I don't know. Father, God knows. Father knows. He gives you the way. And then, hallelujah. But we will know. We'll hear about it. We will hear about it. So when you hear about it and you know some of your family, hallelujah, yes. That's what I understood when the Lord was speaking to me. He is the one giving the wisdom to this doctor, I believe a Christian doctor, or a doctor God chooses, to come up with this medication, okay? And then that medication is going to remove the coronavirus vaccine, okay? And we know that there's a doctor in California, a group of doctors, Christians, working on this. We already know about this. Someone sent me the link from Facebook about these doctors that are working on this stuff, that they're not going to disclose the information, because if God's leading them, they're not going to do this, okay? And we know the Lord has his own doctors that listen to him, listen to his voice. And he'll tell them, I want you to do this and this, and they'll do it. And then they'll release it. Hallelujah. They'll release the information. And a lot of people will disclaim it. A lot of people will deny it. A lot of people will lie against. Hallelujah. Shalom, Sister Luna. And a lot of people will come against it. Okay? But the Lord has his doctors that he'll speak to. People that are walking with him. I recently listened to this brother online whom the Lord separated him for him to disclose everything about the Nephilim and all that. What information. He doesn't make his face known much. He doesn't make his face known. He doesn't want people to know him, because then he'll become a target. But the Lord speaks to him directly. You know what he does every day, all day long, or every day? Pray. That's what he does. And then the Lord reveal him this stuff. And he'll go to a country or a place, and the Lord supernaturally will bring something to him or someone and show him, give him the information. And then he'll share the information. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, that is so true, Sister Michelle. Yes. Yes, yes. We feel the same, Sister. We feel the same. Sister saying, I've been so sad because everyone is taking the vaccine. And she's a nurse. Sister Michelle is a nurse. And she's a very well-caring person. She cares for her patient. She cares for people. Okay, and I tell you, I'm sure she does a wonderful job. She's a wonderful sister in the Lord. And so, like she says, she's been crying for these people that have been taken by sin. Like most of us here, hallelujah, we all feel the same. And the Lord feels the same. And we're so grateful that God has given this open window. But now, my brother and sister, is where prayer cannot stop. Going before the throne. Okay? Now is where Brother Benjamin, everyone listening, now is where we pray without ceasing. Non-stop. Okay? Brother Benjamin was in the chat room. I think he just, because I know he's working. He probably got out. But prayer, my brother and sister, has to be going before the throne now, non-stop, from each and one of us. In regard to helping these people, that soon as this other medication is available, amen, brother, immediately you can offer it to your family. You can let them know, okay? And they can take this other medication. Amen, brother, and Angelas. I suspect you're working, so that's why I said it. Amen. So, very important, very, very, very important that we, my brother and sister, pray for our family. And continue to pray for our family. And now this opportunity for them to get this stuff out of their body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. they can take the new best by seeing no medication, whatever it was. Because I saw the lawyer and I was standing outside this clinic, looked like a hospital. It looked like a hospital where they were going to take this other medication or vaccination to remove the effect, the other coronavirus vaccine out of their body. And it was totally removing it completely. They're changing the DNA, everything. It was removing it. And I believe mostly, this is what I believe, that the new medication will stop the effect on the vaccine and get the person clean enough for the person to repent and be safe. And when the Lord was showing me this, he was still standing next to me. I see he was still standing next to Abraham when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. My brother and sister, I said, Lord, is this Baalim? That's what came out of my mouth of the Lord. Baal is like a more modern word. Okay, I should have said, is this a sect before God? But he's Baal. The Lord understood right away what I meant to say. And he said that, yes. Yes. Because to tell the great tribulation, there's still time, is what he practically explained to me. Okay, so that's awesome. Awesome. But since he given me the message, I was attacked. My hell was attacked like you have no idea. No idea. Well, your body practically died. Nothing can be worse than that. Okay? I've been there twice, so I know what I'm talking about. The pain was unbearable. I took pain medication. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, It is difficult. Amen. It is difficult. But the Lord is merciful. And the Lord is for us. And the Lord is with us. So we don't need to be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Nehemiah 13:2. Because they meant not the children of Israel with bread and with water, by higher veiling against them, that he should curse them. However that be, our God turned the curse into a blessing. They hired Balaam, my brother and sister. Balaam should have been in favor of them. But when people become blind, by whatever reason it is, it's hard to point one thing in which people become blind by it. There are many things that can make people blind. This is why we need to be repenting daily. Okay? Praise the Lord. What was God talking about in Deuteronomy 23:5 that I began reading? And the complete Jewish Bible says, because they did not supply you with food and water when you were on the road after leaving Egypt, because they hired Balaam, the son of Peor, from Aram Hashir-Yorim, to put a curse on you. But Adonai, your God, will not listen to Balaam. Rather, Adonai, your God, turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because Adonai loves you, so you are never to seek their peace or well-being as long as you live. But you are to detect the enemy, because he is your brother. Hallelujah. And so you are not to detect the enemy, because he is your brother. And you are not to detect the Egyptians, because you live as a foreigner in the land. Hallelujah. The third generation of the children born to them may enter into the assembly about the nine. From the fourth to the second, God will destroy. But on the third generation, God said they can be saved. What is that about? Only God knows how far the evil DNA can go to. First and second generations are cursed and they get destroyed. The third generation of the children born to them may enter into the assembly of Adonai, can be saved, in another word. Okay? And God knows a generation more than anybody else. And when you are in camp at war with your enemy, you are to guard yourself against anything bad. If there any man among you who is unclean because of a nocturnal emission, he is to go outside the camp. He is not to enter the camp. And when the evening arrives, to bathe himself in water, after the sunset, he may enter into the camp. Okay? Now, thank you, Lord. This is why we need to keep even our house clean. Look what it says. Also, you are to have an area outside the camp to set a latrine. that you may include a trowel with your equipment when you relieve yourself. You are to dig a hole for afterward to cover your excrement. And for the nine your God to move about your camp to rescue you to the hand of your enemy. So when God is to move around, okay, no mess can be in the floor because the Lord is walking around. Okay? My brother and sister. In another word. And I was reading that, I was about to laugh. I'm like, he's telling them not to be leaving the excrement everywhere, that not to use the floor everywhere as a lettering, but to keep everything clean, not messy, because the Lord will be moving around them. Okay? And I was thinking about it, like, wow, okay? In reality, if you want God to be moving around you, I heard a preacher say this a long time ago. I thought it was funny when he said it, but then you start thinking about it. God is clean. Our God is clean. I've been to heaven, several parts of heaven, and it's clean. There's no mess anywhere. Okay? I'm not sure. So people are saying, do you have to go to the toilet in heaven? I don't think so. But I haven't seen no bathroom in heaven. Okay? So that to me, that explains a lot. Now, therefore, your camp must be holy, a holy place. Okay? Should not see anything indecent among you, and he will turn from you. So if God see anything indecent, which that have to do with nakedness, okay? And so, I heard a preacher said, when the Lord is around your house, don't be in your underwear, in your undergarment, sitting in your bed, not covering yourself. If you want the Lord to be around your bathroom, around your house, don't be walking naked everywhere. The Lord doesn't like that. He had convicted me of that for years, my brother and sister. Okay, that if you're sitting in your bed, never to pray naked, never to pray on your undergarment only, to cover yourself. The Lord had convicted me for years about this, and then sing his word. And some people think that they can pray naked all they want. To be honest, I have prayed naked like in the shower to the Lord. Okay? But I feel bad because you have to take off your clothes to take a shower. Normal. And God knows this also. But for you to sit in bed naked praying, no. No, no, no. This is what he's talking about. Okay? Here. Not to be indecent. Okay? Not to be indecent when you are praying to the Lord. If you want the Lord to be around. Because look what he said. They should not see anything indecent among you, and he will turn away from you. So if you are indecent in your house, and you think it's okay, the Lord will turn away from you. Lord, where are you? How come you don't visit me, Lord? Lord, how come you don't come to my house anymore like you used to? Because you're being indecent. Got to get dressed for the Lord. Okay? Put on clothing before the Lord. And cover yourself as a respect to him. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Verse 16. Verse 18. I want to go. Well, let's not skip 16 because it talks about the slave. Okay, and these are the people, the illegal that come into the country. If a slave have escaped from his master, taken to rescue with you, which a lot of people are escaping from Central America of those people that wants to kill them, you are to hand him back to his master. You are not to hand him back to his master, but to allow him to stay with you, whichever place suit him best among you, settlement that do not mistreat him. Okay, let's go there. Verse 18. No woman of Israel is to engage in ritual prostitution. And no man of Israel is to engage in ritual homosexual prostitution. Now, this has to be explained. My brother and sister, yes, cover your nakedness in front of your children. That is so true. Okay? Now, no woman of Israel is to engage in ritual prostitution. And this is for us to also help the woman not to. Okay? Not to. Not to. So if a widow needs some food, some help, we have to find a way to help the widow, my brother and sister. We have to supply. Have to help. Okay? That she don't have to end up in prostitution thinking this is the way she's going to make money. And prostitution until this moment. I just know it is ritual, like offering to these fallen one demons. So when women turn to prostitution, they're offering themselves in a sacrifice to the fallen demon, is what I see here. And I say, oh, wow. We see prostitution as something horrible, horrible sin. We have not seen it to this place of a ritual, as a ritual, which that means that falls under idolatry. Because the Apostle Paul talks about this, idolatry. When he talks about the sins of adultery and fornication, it's together with idolatry, but it comes from this teaching of Deuteronomy, my brother and sister. Now, no woman of Israel is to engage in ritual. And I see the word ritual, and ritual is what they offer to these demons, fallen ones. And prostitution falls under ritual. And I didn't know this. I'm reading it today, like, wow. Prostitution falls under a ritual. So when we have prostitutes in the city, they're actually offering themselves to the fallen demons. I didn't know this. Seeing this, I'm like, wow. Okay. So we got to talk about this. Ritual. And no man of Israel to engage in ritual homosexual prostitution. Huh? Ritual to the demon. Homosexual sin falls under prostitution, according to the word. So falls under idolatry also. I didn't even know this until I put it under this translation of the Bible. My brother and sister, the Jewish Bible, and they all fall under prostitution, but ritual comes under idolatry, offered to these demons. So man and woman offered to demon, which the Bible talks about all over the Bible, offering sacrifice to demon, Paul says to the Romans. This is what he meant. I was thinking, where did Paul get his teaching in regard to that offer to these demons? He gets it from here, Deuteronomy. This is the sin that the people, as they turn to prostitution, they do. Men and women. And homosexual sin. Any homosexual lesbian sin is an offering to the demon. Fallen demon, fallen God, my brother and sister. It falls under idolatry. I am blown away by this revelation of it. Wow. No wonder these demons operate through that. My brother and sister, my people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Here it is. This is the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. The people have been perishing for years. Hallelujah. So Israel is not to engage in this ritual because they're worshiping other gods. And thou shalt not worship other God, God says, by him. Okay? It's a great sin before God. And so much repenting, the person that turns from that needs to do. Because now he needs to repent from idolatry, sorcery, black magic, all that falls under that idolatry. It's terrible. It is terrible. And the Lord Jesus, when he was teaching me to pray, he was teaching me this stuff, how to pray this way. That if you are repenting from any type of sin, any type of fornication, adultery in your generational line, back to from father and mother and their generational line all the way back to Adam and Eve, that all falls under idolatry, fornication, adultery, prostitution, sacrifice to idol, sacrifice to God. All that, when the Lord was teaching me to repent this stuff, he was teaching me to repent all these things. And I'm like, wow. But everything is in his word anyway. It's all in his word. My brother and sister. Okay? And we don't want the enemy to be accusing us against the stuff, because then people can fall into it. That's why that is. That's why we need to know. Okay? Verse 19. Nothing earned through heterosexual or homosexual prostitution is to be brought into the house of the nine your God. Nothing earned. This money earned in prostitution should not be brought into the house of the Lord, God says. My brother, that's verse 19. Okay? Nothing earned through heterosexual homosexual or homosexual prostitution is to be brought into the house of the Lord your God. That. Because that will be unlawful gain. That will fall under lawful gain. One, it's not righteous and not pure. So why would you bring something unrighteous and pure before God and offer them to God? No. So that's God will now receive that. God will now receive that. Okay? So no. So a drug dealer cannot come to you and say, here's $1 million. And you say, oh, thank you. God touched this man. No. No, no, no. Okay? Even stuff, thank you, Brother Miguel. Even things coming from suspicious sources. There you go. That is so true. We need to be careful. Because it can fall under sin. And all this was to keep the law around us. And no wonder, I was thinking 2 weeks ago, there was so much presence of the Lord in my office, in my house. Why is this not so much anymore? And I began to pray about it. Lord, show me what's in my house that is not pleasing to you, Lord. Because I love to have the Lord in my house. And he began to show me things that we bought, gifts. Someone giving me gifts. And I just put it in a shelf, put it on the wall, whatever. But did I ask the Lord if I should have had it in my office, in my house? No. Someone decided to send it to me. But I didn't know it was not pleasing to the Lord. And I didn't ask the Lord anyway, which I should have. Because we need to ask him about everything. So I began to ask the Lord to show me. And the thing he began to show me, you know, there was something that was valuable. Like, what am I going to do now? No, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to get it out. And that's what I did. Forget about valuable. The only thing more valuable to us is the presence of Jesus in our lives. Anything more valuable than that? No. Nothing can be more valuable. Sometimes God leaves things to us because we need to value him. We need to give him his place in our lives. In our house. And if you hold something valuable to you, given to you by someone, but the Lord is not pleased with it for you to have it, who do you hold more valuable now is the question. That's how you got to think. You may think that these little things don't bother God. Of course they do. You need to be sensitive enough to say, okay, Lord, I want you. Anything else, I'll throw anything away from my house that you don't. You don't like my you don't like LG, you don't like Samsung TV, I'll throw them away, Lord, if I have to. But I'm using them for his purpose, so thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. But if he tells me anything about Samsung, LG that I have here, or anything not pleasing to him, I'll throw it away. And that's the attitude he wants from each and one of us. Don't hold things so valuable to you, that a TV or what, radio, whatever it is, that you cannot throw away to keep the Lord in your house. Because the Lord's telling the children of Israel here, if you want to have me among you, this is the thing that I don't want you to do. So if you want the Lord to be coming to your house, don't be walking around in your underwear. Sister, brother, don't be walking around in your underwear. Don't. Cover yourself. And sometimes you feel tempted to do so. Go get some pants. Go get some dress. Dress yourself. Cover yourself. Okay? Get used to bringing clothing to the bathroom. Have your hamper in the bathroom if you have to. Take off your old clothing. Put it in the hamper. Put on the new clothing after you shower, after you dry. Get dressed right there. Don't. Especially if there's other people in your house. Don't do that. Don't do such a thing. We need to be sensitive to that. Praise the Lord. Nothing earned through heterosexual, homosexual, prostitution to be brought into the house of nine you got in fulfillment of any vow. Ooh. What is a vow? Lord, I promise you. I promise you. I promise you, may. No. For both these are a whore to Adonai, your God. A whore is dislike. He disliked that. He's not going to like you doing that or making that promise. Okay? No. Don't do that. Leviticus 19:29. Do not debase your daughter by making her a prostitute, so that your land will not fall into prostitution and become full of shame. Do not. That debase is the foundation of the righteous is holiness in God. The foundation of the righteous is pure. When you debase someone, it's like you're moving that foundation. You say, oh, honey, well, we need money, and you got a beautiful body, you're already 19. You're going to have to go out and make us some money. No, don't do that. Because a lot of people do that and think it's okay. Okay? No, don't do such a thing. Number 14:33. And your children will not wonder about, and your children will wonder about in the desert for 40 years, bearing the consequence of your prostitution to the desert, eat up your carcass. Now, it never crossed my mind, I would say in 1,000 years, that some of the children of Israel were prostituting themselves in Egypt. It would have never crossed my mind until I read this verse, my brother and sister, number 14:33. Okay? The reason why they went through all these 40 years in the wilderness was because they had prostituted themselves, my brother and sister. Look, and your children will wander about in the desert for 40 years, bearing the consequence of your prostitution, until the desert eats up your carcass. That is not shown in the Hollywood Moses movie. That was prostitution among them. Maybe in the part where Moses went out to the mountain, the part about the Ten Commandments, maybe. But this is not something mentioned or anything like this. When I read this, I'm thinking, prostitution? Prostitution among them? This was not in Egypt. This was in the wilderness, desert, wilderness. Okay? If there's another one in Egypt, we'll find it. But this one is in the desert, in the wilderness. There was prostitution. Because God said, and your children will wander about in the desert for 40 years, bearing the consequence of your prostitution. Okay? Sounds like it could have been earlier prostitution, but because this is in the desert, okay? Yes, prostitution, it is idolatry. It is. Okay, but look at the consequence that they went through because of the prostitution. Now, when God says something like this, and we know it's a consequence of sin, but the question is, did they repent? Did these parents that God is rebuking them and telling them of their sin, that they repented? Apparently not. Apparently not. Somehow they thought it was normal. Okay? That means that marriage, they were not taking serious marriage. Okay? And we know that when Jesus came back to them, there was a person in the book of, I believe it's Matthew, a woman that had married 4 times, I believe it was. And there was a man also that had married 3 or 4 times also. That was, Jesus was asked, which of them will be his wife or the husband of? So, yes, stripper, yeah. A stripper, it is a prostitute, okay? Because there's nakedness in stripping, the nakedness. And that's what God is talking about, prostitution, nakedness. That's why women strip, because you're tempting other men to give you money. You're offering a product for something, in another word. And the product is your body. It's a tool of temptation to get money. So anyone doing this needs to repent and not do it anymore. We're not here to judge anyone, but we're here to tell you the truth, that if you have fallen one way or another in this, repent. Turn to the Lord. Ask him for help. There was a young lady listening to me. She was a prostitute. And her friend was listening to the Lord Tower. And she said, what are you listening to? Oh, Brother Elby, who's that? Oh, a preacher. And she listened to it, and she got convicted. She gave her life to the Lord. She contacted me. Hallelujah. And that is bad. That is your ex left you for a stripper. He made a poor choice right there, because nothing better than an Israelite woman. Yes, I'm covering naked. Thank you for our sister. A woman of God is a lot better than anything. I'm telling you. Because the person that is faithful to God will be faithful to you. That I didn't understand for years. Why would you want a woman of God in your life or a man of God woman in your life? Because someone who is faithful to God will also be faithful to you. The foundation of faithfulness to God in this person, understand that in marriage, you must be faithful in a relationship. That's why it's important to have a foundation, to have a relationship with God. Amen. So, any nakedness is in relation to prostitution. My brother and sister, and God's giving us a chance to know and repent. Okay, so this young woman turned to the Lord and she contacted me and told me who she was, what she's been doing for years, she says. I felt so sad for her. I led her to continue to, I pray for her, continue to seek the Lord, repent daily. And she kept writing to me how her life was being changed so much. Not knowing the Lord was the best thing for her, you know. Now, from someone who's been in prostitute or stripper, because we also have that in the Lord Tower, to turn now to the Lord, now you need to trust the Lord to provide you with a job and leave that job you're doing. Okay? Leave that job. Because she was saying to me, Brother Elby, this is a job I've been doing now for a while. And I don't know how to do nothing else. And I says, listen, you need now to pray. I will pray with you for the Lord to provide you another job, decent job, that you can do and have an income to support yourself. So it's very important now that you trust the Lord to provide to you. This is the key now in your relationship with Him. Trust Him. But you need to go and apply for a job. Imagine someone that doesn't have a resume for years, no history of working anywhere but just in prostitution. And prostitution can be a call girl. They're women that are just in call, that they go see men, they work for a company, they're just in call. Just in call. It's not necessarily a prostitute in the corner. Okay, so they're different cases, but still the same sin, same demon that attacks women this way, and even men. Because I had a young man the same. I was surprised when he contacted me, giving his life to the Lord too. He said, what am I going to do now? And this is terrible. This is what the earth is filled with, my brothers. But we cannot judge, and we got to lead people to Christ. Repent, seek the Lord, humble yourself. The Lord is merciful. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will forgive you. He will restore you. Okay? And more awesome, He'll write your name in the book of life. He'll help you. Even if you end up staying in the great tribulation, Jesus will help you through it. He's not giving up on you, especially if you're confessing Him publicly. That's awesome. Okay? Because He's going to confess you before the Father. Remember that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise to God. I heard someone judging another person for falling into sin, and I'm thinking, man, we should not be doing that. Because my brother and sister, we all are in a place on this earth where we can be tempted. Some of us are learning to repent, though, turn to the Lord for help. And so the Lord keeps us standing, okay? But Paul says, those that are standing, watch that you will not fall. And yet, many of them that were sexually abused as children end up into sin. That's a fact. And mental health. Okay? Yes, we all have fallen in different times. And the sin may not be the same. But all type of sins are shameful, no matter why. Okay? So we're not here to blame anyone or point finger to anyone. No. No. Okay? The Lord wants all of us to come to Him and cry out to Him for help. You cry to Jesus for help. I had to cry to the Lord this week because I was practically dead in bed. Okay? My wife got scared. She thought I was going to leave her with three children, young children, because she saw that I was dying. Hallelujah. And I'm glad the Lord set you free from that, Brother Miguel. Amen. See, the Lord is merciful. We cry out to Him and He'll help us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 3:2. Raise your eyes to the bare hill. Take a look where we have, you now have sex. Where you have not had sex. You stand by the roadside waiting for them like a gnome in the desert. You have defiled the land with your prostitution and your wickedness, God is saying to the people. Hallelujah. It seems like this evil spirit of prostitution and different sex-type demon has been attacking people for so many years. Look at this in the time of Jeremiah. You thought that the people mostly, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And I'm sorry, sister, but I got to talk about these things also because there are people that need our help. If it affects you to just hearing it, you know, we understand. Praise the Lord. But because some people, when they hear what they have repented over the years back again, it brings them memory. That's not the plan or the purpose. It's for the people who, hallelujah, are crying out to God now that are still struggling with these things. We need to point them to Jesus. Everybody. We need to point people to Jesus to repent. Any sex against your body, falls under prostitution, idolatry, witchcraft, surgery, and all that. Okay? Very important to know. Praise Jesus, to repent. Jeremiah 13:27, and on the hill of the field I have seen your abomination, your adulteries, your lawful kneeling, your shameless prostitution. Woe to you, Jerusalem. You have refused to purify, you won't even allow it. Man, this is, when you get to the point where God is talking to you about these things and you're still practicing some of them. But the part is when you say, no, I'm fine. When you know you're still practicing some of it. No. You refuse to be purified, God says. You know what's refusing to be purified? When the Holy Spirit convict you of the sin, instead of you saying, yes, Lord, I repent, I'm sorry, you refuse to. Oh, I'm not going to hear that. That's not for me. No. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If you know God is speaking to you, and say, okay, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Amen, Lord. Help me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to practice this anymore. We all went through it. At a time, could have been 20 years ago, 30 years, still we went through it. But now that God has worked in our life, God needs to work in everybody else's life too. I said a long time ago, we can't be greedy. Freely we receive, freely we give. God has been merciful to us to help us through this years, for years, to keep us clean. Now we help other people, brother and sister. We do. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 43:7. He's a human being, son of man. This is a place for my throne, the place for the sole of my feet, where I will live among the people of Israel forever. The house of Israel, bold they and their king, will never again defile my holy name by their prostitution, by the burying, the curses of the king, and the high places. Now, I want you to see this, because a lot of people, especially here in America, do this. They bury their family next to their home. And it's because it's the loved one that they love, and they think that they want to keep them closed. And a lot of people do this because they hold valuable this person in their life, so they want to bury their husband, their wife, their children, their property. And this is something God doesn't like. A lot of people, I guess, don't know. Okay? And it's in Ezekiel 43:7. Okay? This is a place for my throne, the place for the sole of my feet. The earth is the place that saw his feet where he walked on, where I will live among the people of Israel forever. And I know here he's talking about Jerusalem, Israel. Amen. The half of Israel, both they and the king will never again defile my holy name by the prostitution, by burying the curses and the king on the high places. In other words, if you have dedicated your land, your property, everything you own to God, don't bury people there. And if before you do, ask the Lord, this I will say. Because I was thinking about this. How do I explain this? And it will be that if someone dies and you want to bury in your property or next to your house, ask the Lord first. Pray. Pray about it. Don't just say, well, I love this person or I love my baby, whatever, I'm going to just bury it next to me. Pray to the Lord first. Okay? Pray to the Lord. Seek the Lord about it. Amen. And then, hallelujah, verse 20. You are to, this is the part where God says to lend. You are not to lend an interest to your brother. Not to lend an interest to your brother. No matter whether the loan is money, food, or anything else that can earn interest. Okay? What happened when you borrow an interest? According to Proverbs, you can be enslaved through interest. I remember this sister who borrowed $5,000, I believe it was, or $7,000, around there, in 20% interest from this guy. So every time he came to pick up money from her, he charged a 20% interest. My brother and sister. And that 20% interest was what she began to pay him back for 15 years. She was paying that 20% interest, only the interest on the loan. Okay? Even anxious, so thank you for the question. Even anxious about your family, pray to the Lord first. Ask the Lord whether you are. He wants you to do that. Okay? Make sure, because he may say no. And who are we guided toward through by the Lord? The Spirit will guide you toward truth. That's Jesus. For the Lord is the Spirit, Paul says. That's Jesus living in your life, guiding you toward truth. Okay? So this is the borrow, I believe it was $7,000, and 20% interest. But every time she had to make her payment, 20% interest of $7,000, if someone can do the math quickly, it's a lot of money and interest. So if every time he came, she paid $300, $500 in payment, she was not even paying the interest on the money of $7,000. Okay? So, in 15 years, she still owed the money because she only was paying the interest. And it escalated to a big problem, my brother and sister. Okay? We need to understand how interest works in that regard. And we don't charge interest to our brothers and sisters. Now, he says not to your brothers and sisters, but to the outsider. Now, this is the world. That we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But we still do business in the world. In case you're doing it and you feel bad, this is not what it's referring to. To the outsider, you may lend our interest, God says here. You may lend our interest. Okay, so don't feel bad if you do business up there and you're lending an interest. Because you're making money, an example. And that's how your business is. Okay? It can be through protests or different things. Don't feel bad. Okay? Because that's your job. That's your business. And God says you may. You may lend an interest in regard to the world. But to your brother, you are not to lend an interest. Very clear. Not to your brother. Not to your sister. Not to those that are serving the Lord. You don't do that. And I believe banks have gotten out of business for lending an interest of the church. Because sometimes a bank will lend us a loan for 4.7 interest loan. And you're in a fixed interest for a certain amount of years. And then something happens in the market and they go changing this. And they'll change it so high that then you're just paying the interest. And so you'll never finish paying the loan. When they do that to God's people, God will shut down the bank right away. It will not last. I've seen that. Okay? I know this because I had a bank out north that I had money with them. And got in the bank shut down. It shut down completely. I didn't have much, but anything that they'll do to steal your money, a sudden change of interest like they do, or like they used to do, that will bring God's punishment. And right away, the bank has to close down, my brother and sister. A large bank, Bank of America, ended up buying them, my brother and sister. It used to call Boston Bank, believe us. Okay? But to your brother, you are not to lend of interest, so that the nine your God will prosper you in everything you send out to do in the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. Now, this is why God says, if you do this, you will prosper. Because you may wonder, how come I'm not prospering as God said I should? Well, you have to look how you're doing business. You know? You cannot just do business because the state gives you the okay to do it. The government gives you the okay. The bank gives you the okay. Everybody's doing it the same. As a Christian, no. You don't do business according to other people, how other people are doing business. You and I do business according to the Bible. Biblical. This is why we need to know our Bible. Okay, and if someone had emailed me about this, who owns a business, said, "Brother LB, what about this?" And I will email them back the verse. Or I will tell them by the word how. Okay, we are all learning. I've been in business for a while since Massachusetts. The Lord had opened me door to. And but I'm not in business out in the world. I'm just doing the Lord's job right now. I don't do, not doing like I used to. My brother and sister. But God can prosper you in business. You can really prosper. Okay? And I was in business at once in the stock market. And I learned how to trade. And I was doing good. So good that the Lord was calling me into the ministry. And I had to choose. Am I going to stay in the stock market making money, not for me and my family, live well, but not do ministry practically, just once in a while maybe, or no? Because you say once in a while, but then you end up doing nothing. So I had to choose. And the Lord spoke to me clear, no. Get out of the stock market, no more. It was hard. My brother and sister. It was really hard. But forget about the money. Salvation is more important. I have to forget about it. Well, all the learning from these really good teachers, I have to forget about it. You know? And just forget about it. And think about, well, the law is more important. But in any business you get into, you need to understand the biblical foundation on how to do business is very important. So you don't end up offending God with your business and not being prosperous and the business being a curse to your life. Okay? Someone asked me about Bitcoin. But Bobby, I want to put my money in Bitcoin. I said to this person 2 years ago, is going to go up high. How do you know this, Brother Avi? Because Bitcoin will be the money of the Antichrist, first of all. And Obama, when he was in office, moved to China trillions of dollars for Bitcoin, sitting in China. So I know Bitcoin is going to go through the cloud. What is it, at 40% now up there? That's nothing. It's going to go, I believe Bitcoin, it's going to end up being in the millions, not just over $100,000 per one, in the millions, because of what Obama did. A lot of people don't even know this. When he was in office, that's his money. That's his currency. Even though I share that people who will have Bitcoin in the years to come will have to get the RFID in the right hand. Has to be vaccinated 100% and proven it. And then after that, get the mark of the beast in the right hand or in the forehead, the RFID. Okay? That's how terrible it's going to be. Okay? Let me see if I can lower the volume here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's all going to change. You're going to see in the time to come how things are going to change. The Lord is already talking about the stock market falling. You know how they're letting the stock market in the 34,000? Okay, it's going to fall. Stock market's going to fall. It's a bubble. Right now it's a bubble. Huge bubble of death that they're creating. And when it falls, everyone who have invested their money are going to lose it. And it will be what the Antichrist is doing with Bitcoin is, everybody, most of the people here invested in the stock market. And not much people are invested in Bitcoin. But Bitcoin will be the only thing standing when the stock market falls. So then people will change to Bitcoin. But that's why they're going to require the mark of the beast and be vaccinated, my brother and sister. It is all a trick. It is all a plan of the enemy. And if you're not watching and praying, you will fall into it, into the lies. Don't fall into the lies. Watch and pray. Ask the Lord God to show you, to let you see. Don't be blind by, oh, it's going up, it's going up. No. The kingdom of heaven is up always. And the kingdom of heaven never lacks anything. God will supply your need if you trust him, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of heaven never lacks anything. Even when the stock market falls for you and I, even if we have no money in the bank, Father promised to take care of us. And he can supply to us supernaturally, my brother and sister. But it's all going to happen under obedience. Anything supernatural that happened in the Bible, it happened under obedience. It didn't happen because Peter knew that he was in jail, that God was going to send an angel to get him out supernaturally. No, he did not know. He was just an obedient. Everything that happened in the Bible, Elisha did not know the things that were going to happen. When Elisha was next to the river and God was feeding him with birds from the air, my brother and sister, Elisha had no idea what was going to happen next. And then God said, Elisha, go to the house of the widow. And I will feed you there. Elisha didn't know what was going to happen next, but God knew only. But Elisha was an obedient to God. That's how supplication comes. Now, God gave Elisha the prophet instruction for the widow blessing. The widow had no idea how the blessing was going to come. No idea at all. But when Elisha came to him and said, woman, what do you have to eat? And she explained that she only had but a little barley and a little oil, and then her son and her was going to die. Elisha said, go ahead and prepare and feed me first. The widow said, but I only have about a little for my son and I, and then we eat and then we'll die. My brother and sister, she was not depending on God 100%, but God was merciful to her. The only place where we need to be with God is in obedience, my brother and sister, because you and I don't know next what's going to happen, but God knows what he's going to do. Okay? And then so, Elisha said, go feed me first, woman. And she prepared him a meal. Elisha ate it. Bring me all your vessel of oil. Oil was very expensive, especially during that time. Any vessel full of oil she could have sold and make a lot of money. So, and Elisha prayed over, and God filled all the barrels of oil. Make her, in our timing, a millionaire. Because it was very expensive back then. My brother and sister, in obedience. Everything Elisha was telling her to do was in obedience. Okay? When the blind man was calling them to Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus kept walking with his disciple. And he kept raising his voice, son of David, have mercy upon me. The man kept calling, son of David, have mercy upon me, the blind man. And Jesus stopped. That's how you get the attention of God. Keep crying out to him. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved, my brother and sister. And Jesus stopped and said, man, what would thou have me do unto thee? Lord, I would like to see. He was blind since birth. And the Lord spit, took the dirt, put it on his eyes, and go to the Silo and wash your eyes. How he's going to get to the Silo, he didn't know. Someone needed to guide him because he was blind. But now, after God comes to your life, you need to be obedient. You need to hear his voice. Go to the Silo and wash yourself. That's the voice of God of obedience to your life. And he could have said, Lord, but how am I going to get there? I'm blind. I don't know which way it is. Right, left, north, south. Which way, Lord? Which way? No. Now he needed to say to someone, can someone help me get to Silo? Where's the Silo? Left or right? I don't know which way. Can you lead me there? Can you please take me there? Help the man to get there and watch his eyes. And he saw 2020. My brother insisted, that's what we're supposed to see in 2020. Under obedience, when we arrive in 2020, we see the vile weapon of the coronavirus and the bioweapon of the coronavirus vaccine. But if you get to 2020 and you're not listening to God, you're not walking in obedience, you don't see the virus. You don't see the weapon. It's a weapon of the enemy, of course. It's a weapon against your own life, of course. But if you're not seeing, you're not walking in obedience, if you don't know your next step. You don't know what your tomorrow will be. That's why we are told even to say, when you plan for the week, when you plan for tomorrow, say the Lord willing. You don't know. You have no idea what you're doing tomorrow. But the Lord holds your tomorrow together in his hand. And when you trust him and you listen to him, his word, and you follow his word, he'll lead you to green pasture. He'll take care of you. Your tomorrow will be in peace and joy. And even if you have trouble, hallelujah, because every day bring its own trouble, Jesus said, the Lord will bring you through. He'll bring you through. And you'll be standing in the Lord in the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. You'll be standing. It's a house built upon the rock. That's you. You are the house built upon the rock. You are the house of the Holy Spirit of God. You are the house built upon a rock. That no matter what hit the rock, no matter what storm comes against the house, it cannot bring it down because it is built upon a rock. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And you and I are the house that is built on him, his word, the foundation, the unmovable foundation, the unmovable God. My brother and sister, you heard when that demon from Kisha came from Egypt to Jerusalem, to the temple, the king there, the people humbled themselves. But God allowed it to go even farther until God moved his wrath. That's God. I believe God, who had put his wrath over America and the world, is going to move it. It could be temporarily. But this window that God has opened to the people in America and over the world that are listening in India, in Pakistan, in China, listen, open your ears in Australia, and Canada, you, hallelujah, in Germany, in France, you that are being commanded to take the coronavirus vaccine, the Lord will provide a cure to overturn the coronavirus vaccine for you to be saved and come home. But you must truthfully repent to the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, show me an open window of opportunity before the great tribulation for the vaccine to be overturned and for people to get right with God again. See, you got really scared, you that took the vaccine as a Christian, as a pastor, as a minister. Hallelujah. But the Lord allowed it to shake you up, to humble you, because in your sin, you will not repent. You will not turn to the Lord when he calls you to turn to him. You will not listen to him. Now God got your attention, right? The Lord Jesus was showing me this. Now he's getting the attention of those Christians that got vaccinated. Hallelujah. He's going to help them. But now he got their attention because they were not listening. They were not listening. But one thing the Lord showed me was that those that got vaccinated as a Christians, they got really, they know, the Lord showed me, they know that what they done in their heart of heart is not of God. The decision they made to be vaccinated now, because Jesus showed me this, they know in their heart the decision they made was wrong. And the conviction of sin over their life in disobedience is great. And Jesus showed me this window he's opening for them. Hallelujah. When they truly repent, they're turning back to the Lord. Jesus has done this with the children of Israel and with other nations. God has done this in his word. My brother and sister, he has shaken people's life through it. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But he knew that this is the only way they're going to get back to being 2020 in their spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. Be able to see that when the enemy comes against them. After this, they're not going to take any more vaccination. After they take the cure and overturn the vaccine, they know now to listen to the Lord. They know now they were lukewarm. They were backsliding. And now God's giving them a chance to get back around with him. Thank you, Lord. Mercy. Endure forever. Verse 22, but when you make a vow to Adonai, your God, you are to not to delay and fulfill it. For Adonai, your God, will certainly demand of you. Your failure to do so will be in you, your sin. If you choose not to make the vow at all, that will be a sin for you. If you choose not to make a vow at all, that will not be a sin to you, I'm sorry. Will not be a sin. So it's better not to bow than to make the bow. And we human, I don't know, we like to bow to God. Make bows. Marriage bows. You know, when people get married, marriage bow. Oh, I promise you to be with you in sickness and good, and good in health. And they make the promise to their wife. And how many widows now are listening saying, yeah, that was all promise, Brother Elvie. It was all promise. Exactly. But if your vow passes your lips, you must take care to perform it according to what you voluntarily vow to Adonai, your God, while you promise in words spoken aloud. And this is exactly what happened in marriage. They make their vow, allow. They have all the guests and family listening. And everybody, oh, that is so pretty. Oh, he loves us so much. Look. And then they break their vow. They forget about it. They get a divorce. They leave them with children. My brother and sister, this is what this life is about, pain and suffering. So when you enter into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat enough grape to satisfy your appetite, but you are not to put any in your basket. When you enter your neighbor's field and grow grain, you may pluck ears with your hand, but you are not to put a sickle to your neighbor's grain. Amen. Praise the Lord. God was making his people to be, hallelujah, giving. Because Jesus said, in regard to giving, it is better to give than to receive. Because we focus on giving. What do you hear people saying from everywhere? They're looking for someone to give to them. They're just looking for people to give to them. But Jesus said, it is better to give than to receive. You are in a better position when you give than when you, hallelujah, are in the position to receiving. In the position to receiving, you are broke. In the position to give, you are in abundance, an example. But you are more blessed when you give. And some people say, that's why the wealthy keep being wealthy, because they give and they get more. And that's a good example also. Because in the talents in Matthew 25, I believe it is, 24, the one that had five talents went and got another fight. He got blessed for more. And the one that had one that buried it was told to give it to the one that had more. My brother and sister, God wants us to be good stewards of everything we receive, which we're naturally not born to be good stewards, but we learn to in the Lord. We ask for wisdom. We ask for knowledge. We ask God to help us understand and be able to be good stewards. Provide to us. I remember praying years ago, Lord, provide me that I can give to other people. And so when you're able to pray, you also can ask God to give you to give. And I believe this is one of the most perfect prayer we can do. Because a lot of people wonder, what's a perfect prayer, brother? Well, this is a perfect prayer. Because God tells you it's better for you to give than to receive. Then God wants you to be in position to give. And you can only be in position to give when you have abundance. So a perfect prayer is, God, give me abundance that I'm in position to give to others. And God will put you in that position. God will give you abundance, because your prayer is perfect now. It's perfect. Because according to his word. Any prayer according to God's word is perfect. Perfect. My brothers and sisters. And so, ask God to put you in this position, to be able to give to other people. That's a perfect prayer. A lot of people say, I don't know what to pray for, Brother Elvie. If you read the word a lot of God, and you learn the word, memorize the word, when you pray according to the word, you're praying in perfect prayer. But this takes time now. This doesn't happen overnight. Okay? This doesn't happen overnight. You need to practice this now. You need to practice, hallelujah, you need to practice, my brother and sister, perfect prayer. And what happens when you pray perfect prayer? You'll receive the answer quickly. So quickly that you can see it with your own eyes. Order of silence, you're praying for this to happen. It happens to you. And you find yourself in that position to give to others, and then you say, wow, God brought this up into my life. Exactly. Because your prayer became perfect. I remember when Pastor John, who was in heaven shared this with me, sitting in a table, both him and I alone, and the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, of course. And he opened the Bible, and he shared this with me. How to ask God according to his word, which will make a perfect prayer. Because you're asking God what he will you to ask him. You're asking according to his will when you ask according to the Bible. If you're praying for your wife, your children, your family, you have to go to the word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And put them in the word and pray for them according to the word. And that becomes a perfect prayer. That there's one in the book of Acts, thou in the house shall be safe, and the household shall be safe. Well, your household is your family, your wife, your children. And then so you put them there, Lord. Your word said that my house and my household, I and my household shall be safe. Please bring salvation to them. There you go. Excuse me. So, learn to pray perfect prayer. Perfect is the word of God. Jesus said, Lord, not me, because I'm meek in heart. Hallelujah. And you'll find rest for your soul. But Jesus is perfect. His word, how do I know Jesus is perfect? Because the word is perfect. And let me find a verse, hallelujah, that can accompany what I'm saying. Okay? And immediately came Matthew 5:48. Be ye there perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. The one that is telling you to be perfect is perfect. Okay? See how everything falls in place? Jesus is perfect, and he's telling us to be perfect, like a Father who is perfect in heaven. And now, we have explained what perfect is, God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. That's perfect. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's perfect. Okay? If you fall and you repent, that's perfect. If you make a mistake and you repent, that's perfect. You see, perfect, false, under you doing what God is telling you to do, that's perfect. See, not like men see it. How God see it perfect is the way perfect is. Not men, how men see it. Now, look at this. Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. What make Noah perfect? What make Noah perfect? It tells you what make Noah perfect, because that's how God sees things. And you got to learn to see it this way. Stop seeing it the way the world sees it. The world perfect is that you'll never make a mistake. No. That's wrong. That's not the way God sees perfect. Now, be honest with you. Some of you need to change your language. And your language needs to be heavenly, not earthly. Because some of you think earthly instead of thinking heavenly. What I'm teaching you here is to think early, speak early, to think heavenly, to believe heavenly, and to walk heavenly. You need to put aside the earthly thinking, the earthly belief, and the early expression. Perfect is not that you don't make no mistake. That's earthly men. And that's a life on the pit of hell. Okay? Perfect is what God says is perfect. Now, what made Noah perfect? Simple. He walked with God. That's it. Are you walking with God? Oh, of course, brother. Then you're perfect. You may not, you probably make mistakes. According to men, you are not perfect, but according to God, you are. You see? You need to change your language, your thinking, your even believing. Oh, no, if you're perfect, you don't make no mistake. Of course you do. You make mistake. Okay? But you'll repent. That's all part of perfection. You think Noah did not make no mistakes? You think Abraham was perfect before God? Did Abraham make any mistake? Of course they make mistakes. My brother and sister. How do I know they make mistakes? Because they all have sinned and have fallen short from the glory of God, the Bible says. That's how I know. That's how I know. They all sin, my brother and sister. Okay? Have fallen short out of the glory of God. Praise you, Jesus. Okay? We talked about glory, the crown of glory. In the glory of God, that God doesn't share with nobody, he says. But then the crown of glory comes with great power, Father says. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So your language, thank you, Sister Luna, your language should also be heavenly, not earthly. Earthly is curse and so much more. Heavenly is that your language is pleasing unto God. You speak to please the Lord, not to please men, not even yourself. Not even yourself. You speak to please God. Have a blessed day, sister. Have a blessed day, brother. Okay? I'm praying for you. What did Jesus say? Pray for one another. I'm praying for you, brother. See, your language must be heavenly. Okay? Thank you, Lord. I like it because all the Christians, if they get mad at you and they see you making a mistake, what do they say? Oh, I need to pray for you, brother. You really need a lot of prayer. Thank you, Lord. See, that's heavenly language. Your brother make a mistake, and it may get you mad. Okay? Let's say you lend your car to a brother or a sister, and they crash your car. And they come back and say, they call you at the cell phone, brother, I crashed your car, I'm so sorry. It was a mistake, I didn't mean for that. You get mad at the person, you say, that was my car to go to work or whatever you did with your car. Oh, dude, I really need to pray for you, brother. You really need a lot of prayer. Well, I really need to pray for your sister. That's the attitude the Lord wants us to have. I really need to pray for you a lot. For you next time, you really take care of the car. You really drive careful. You really be careful when you're driving. Pay attention to your driving. You really need a lot of prayer, sister. You really need a lot of prayer, brother. I'm going to begin tomorrow fasting and praying for you because you really need it. Because you really should have kept your eyes open. What happened? Did you test it? What happened? Were you testing? Were you not paying attention to the role? You really need a lot of prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. See? That's the attitude God wants us to have. Heavenly attitude. That instead of beating up on your brother and sister, you know now that they need prayer. You pray for them. Okay? Brother contacted me and said, Brother Ellie, man, I made a mistake this week. I've been walking so good with the Lord and all that. And this woman tempted me, and I made a mistake. Man, okay, you need prayer, brother. Don't worry, I'll pray for you. Make sure you fast and pray, okay? Instead of me judging him, no. I'm not in place to judge nobody. The Lord did not call me to be a judge. I'm in place to be a lawyer now by Jesus. When you make a mistake, you know what Jesus does? Father, have mercy, Father. Father, have mercy. He becomes your intercessor right away before Father. Okay? That's the attitude that you and I need to have for one another. So you tell me, you send me a text or you email me or some brother had called me. Oh, no, I'm praying for you, brother. Okay? Keep trusting the Lord. Please fast and pray that the Lord will help you overcome this weakness in your life. Okay? But don't worry about it. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Repent. Seek the Lord. That's the attitude of Jesus. Thank you, brother. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. See? That's the attitude that God wants us to have. Not judging one another for our mistake. But no, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I love it because I said something that I should have not said one time, and the sister got offended. And I said, I'm sorry. And the sister turned and said, I'll pray for you, Brother Elvie. Thank you. Thank you. Okay? Thank you. I believe my preaching have become better because people pray for me. Okay? You want someone to preach a message that you love the Lord. You want the Lord to use me even more powerful? Ask the Lord. Pray. Simply. I remember the testimony of this elder sister. She was in her 60s, right? And she came to this church, and they put a new pastor. And the pastor was a young man. And he will come up and share the word. He will be nervous. But she noticed he was not really a prayer warrior. Prayer was not his stronghold. Prayer was not his strength. But it was a weakness, and the sister noticed us. You know what she did? She made a promise to the Lord that every day she was going to pray 2 hours for the pastor. So every time he would stand on the pulpit, he will be anointed, my brother and sister. And the pastor did not know this. This was between her and the Lord. Okay? And the pastor, when he stand on the pulpit, the anointing and presence of the Lord came so strong on his life, my brother and sister. Okay? And he will preach a message so powerful that people will come to the church and be touched, and people will love to come to the service, the church. The church was full of people because she was going down before the service every day, witnessing to people, inviting them to the service. Come, God's going to speak to you. You're going to be blessed. God will use this man. He'll give you a word. He'll minister to your life. So people started coming from everywhere, and the church got full until the day this woman died. God took the sister home. Excuse me. And the pastor felt so weak the day she passed away. She passed away like around noon or one, around there between those hours. And the pastor was at home getting ready to go preach that afternoon. And all of a sudden he was weak. Weak, like he had no more anointing. He had no more. He was getting dressed. He had no. And he's thinking, what am I going to give to these people? I felt so weak until he got the call that the sister passed away. So they did all the funeral and all that. And he's like, no anointing. He came to preach, no anointing, nothing. And so he decided to go to the Lord in prayer and fasting and say, Lord, why am I so weak since the sister passed away, since the day the sister passed away? And the Lord spoke to him and said, because my servant prayed 2 hours for you every day before you came to share my word. Through her prayer, I anointed you to give my word. He was shocked from that day. He just learned a lesson that many people don't know. It takes many hours of prayer to bring an anointed service. An anointed service don't happen just like that. No. It's many hours in prayer with the Lord one-on-one that brings the anointing unto any preacher. My brother and sister. Some preacher says, I want to do what the brother is doing. I want to do what that sister is doing. I want to be so anointed like this person. You want to be so anointed like the person, the Lord will say, pray 3 hours, pray 4 hours, pray 5 hours, pray 7 hours. They'll be like, but why so many hours? You want to be anointed like that person. You don't understand. Our anointing comes from the Lord. It's come from Jesus. It's coming from us spending time with him. My brother and sister. And he anoints us to preach. He empowers us to bring his word after spending time with him. It's the only way this happened. This doesn't happen any other way. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I tell you because I had it. Last week I had an international evangelist contact me. My brother and sister, I had a good few hours conversation on the phone. My brother and sister, he sees the video online. He had heard the message. We have posted on Facebook. He wants to be used by God. Like the Lord had touched him through this message. Hallelujah. But you have to fast and you have to pray. Because some of them think, oh, you just speak the word and it happens. Ooh, speak the word. You cannot give what you don't have. You have to have it first in you. I have to be with the Lord in his presence filling my life So when I speak, the Lord can fill other lives that are empty. It doesn't work any other way. The anointing, the presence comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from us. Hallelujah. He anoints us and he anoints other people. That's the only way God works. There's no other way, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So speaking the language of heaven is what God wants each and one of us to be doing, according to the Word. And if you want to use a different Bible than the King James, in order for you to be more familiar with the Word, it's okay. You got the King James. Some people read the Amplified Bible, Christian Standard Bible. My brother and sister, the Geneva Bible is a good Bible. Okay, but the Jewish Translation Bible, some people have the Message, the Living Bible, all the King James. There's so many translations, but the complete Jewish Bible, it is a great Bible that I will recommend it. Okay? Recommend the complete Jewish Bible. And get familiar with the Word. Jesus loved the Bible. And will share the Word. And as you share the Word, it's going to bless your life. You're going to bring the message to the people according to the Word. You're going to learn it and apply it to you. And then you'll know how to speak, how to think. If you're not thinking biblically, you need to correct that. Okay? The Bible says that there's a verse, if we should speak, hallelujah, speak according to the Word of God. Paul says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going there together now. So you see, when we speak, we should speak according to the Word of God. Teach, it has to be according to the Word of God. Okay? And when you meditate on the Word, do it according to the Word also. Because the enemy wants to dirty your mind. That's what the devil does. But every time you do it according to the Bible, a sister, share with me. You know what I do, Brother Elvie? I play the Bible next to my bed. If you got your cell phone connected or any device, media, the Bible, you can play the Bible low when you're sleeping, you'll hear the Word. And that will help clean out your memory, your subconscious. Okay? She says it's such a blessing. She said next day, she feel her mind be full of the Bible. Okay? Sometimes we can be full of the world or other things of the world. And that is dangerous for us. We want to speak, we want to be full of the Word. So when we speak, when we pray, especially when we pray according to the Word, we pray according to the perfect Word, the perfect will of God. The Apostle James talks about this, praying according to His perfect will. And when we pray according to His perfect will, He says, God will hear us. Okay? And whatever we pray for, He'll give to us. Okay? A lot of people have not tried this or practiced this, but you want to practice it because you want God to answer you. The whole question is, you may ask, how come God is not answering my prayer? Or how come I'm not seeing my prayer being answered? Well, are you doing your prayer according to the Word? Because that's very important that it will be done according to the Word. Very, very, very. My brother and sister, the apostle, everyone in the Lord, after they receive the Word from God, they look forward. That's why most of them went back to the commandment given to Moses. And they can quote it to you. Why? Because my brother and sister, hallelujah, they wanted to be according to the Word. Okay? Very important that we stay in the Bible. Okay? And so, it will help you clean your language when you practice the Word. Remember why Jesus said that the Word will cleanse you? Yeah, because it will cleanse you. It will remove from you everything that is not of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have in the same spirit of faith according to as it is written, I believe and therefore I spoken. We also believe therefore we speak. See, when you hear the Word, ask yourself one question. Am I believing the word? Ask yourself the question. Okay? A lot of people, when they hear the word, they think about other people. Be careful. Because you want to apply the word. You want to be cleansed by the word. And if God is speaking to you, make sure he's cleansing you. He's purifying you. You know, he's working on your life. And then you can be a tool of blessing for someone else. People focus the other way. Oh, God is speaking to me. I think I need to speak to this other person. Or God's giving me a word. I think I need to speak to other person. But the word in the second can be for you. And the word was trying you. The Lord will set you straight, will set you free. He came to set the captive free. He'll remove from your life what's not of God. And then when God gets you there, setting you free, then he'll use you for someone else. A lot of people, once the word comes to them, they immediately want to give it to someone else. Well, you haven't let the word work in your life yet. So stand still and know that the Lord is your God. Okay? Is there anointing you that you are his child, he is your God? And that he's removing things from your life, my life, your life? You know? You have to apply it first before you give it. That's how it works. A lot of people say, how come I evangelize, nobody listens to me? Because maybe you're not applying it to you. You know that when you apply the word to you first, and the word cleanses you first and changes you first, when you speak it, you have no problem with other people listening. Because they'll see the testimony in you. See? We're open letters that everybody else can read when they see our lives, when the word has changed us. So first apply to me, my life. And when it cleansed me, when I see myself being cleansed by the word, and I'm thanking him, and I'm praising him, you know, it's working in me. And as it's working in me, then I can share forward whatever he wants me. But I need to be cleansed first, my brother and sister. And when he cleanses you first, when the word is applied to you first, you will have no problem sharing it with other people. The reason why other people are not listening to you is because you hear the word and you're thinking of them right away. You're not allowing the word to cleanse you. Let it cleanse you. Let it come into your life and remove the things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Let him. The word is Jesus. Jesus has come into your ears, into your life, and wants to remove the things that are not pleasing to him. Do you say when you hear the word, yes, Lord, cleanse me, Lord. Yes, Lord, cleanse me. Purify me. Lord, remove those things that are not pleasing to you, Lord. You know that I'm weak in this area, Lord. Help me, Lord. Yeah, bring your word, Lord. Change me. Change it. Remove this that is not pleasing to you, that is in my life, Lord. I want to be a tool in your hand, Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Remove this from my life that is not pleasing to you. You see? You're not focused on nobody else. This is between you and God. You're listening to the word. The word is coming in there. So don't you feel the word sometimes like a sharp sword? Yes, Lord, have your way. Doesn't you feel the word sometimes like a sharp sword cutting something in you and it hurts sometimes? Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for removing that from my life, Lord. That was not pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, cleanse me. Purify me, Lord. Change me. Change me, Lord. Change me. Not want to be the same, Lord. See, in my life, so you focus on that cleansing in you. And when you're doing this every day. And then when you come across someone who God wants you to speak to, it will flow out of you easily. Because it's already been going in you. It's been cleansing you. And the person will listen and say, wow. The person feel God in a special way. Wow. Oh, thank you for that word. Oh, thank you. I felt that. Person's like, you truly are a man of God, a woman of God, they'll say.
right? Because it's already, the word has been cutting, doing surgery in your life, cutting the iniquity, the sin, the things not placed into the law, the hidden things are being cut and removed by the word. And as he's doing that inside of us, in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, and that word cleanses you, and then you're repenting, the blood cleanses you, and then the fire of the Lord cleanses you, and then he puts his anointing in you. The anointing just comes out natural. I say he does all these things. And then you, someone says, he will cause someone to ask you a question. You don't even have to go seek it now. Oh, let me see who I talk to. No. He'll make someone ask you a question. And then when you open your mouth, the word comes out. And when you speak, the person gets touched and blessed. They know it's the living word of God living in you. It lives in you first. And when you speak it, it comes out of you alive. Wow, brother. Where you been, sister? Where you been? Wow, God is truly with you. The word comes out alive. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. And he'll cause them to hear, to have a ear to listen. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Peter, thank you, Jesus, says this, if any man speaketh, let him speak according to the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it according to the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. See? How did God get glorified in our lives? By us applying the word to ourselves first. Us leaving the word every day. Every day brings its own trouble. You're not focused on yourself, on the world. You're focused on Jesus. But when the word comes to you and begin to shake your life, it's because you need it. Let's say you pray, Lord, change me, change me. But the Lord, when you're studying his word and you ask and you're fasting, you're praying, you're asking the Lord to change him. You know what the Lord says to me? They ask this, the Lord is always right. The Lord says that when someone comes to me asking me to help them, if I tell them to fast and pray about what they're asking me, if they do it, the Lord says they're serious. They're serious. If you tell them to fast and they don't want to do it, they're not serious. So this is between me and the Lord. I'm sharing this with you. When someone comes and says, Brother Elvie, I need prayer for this, that. And I say, okay, why don't you take a day or two or three to fast for this? I'll be in prayer for you. Because usually when they're not serious, you know what they want me to do? They want me to fast for their problem. But they don't want to fast. Oh, no. You know, they got too many shows that they love that they don't want to miss. Or they have a meal at 10 in the morning, breakfast that they love that they don't want to miss at all. You see, that can be idolatry. See, you don't want to take one day or two to fast with the Lord, to not eat and just pray and read his Bible, his word. Then you are being an idolater of this meal. A sister write to me and said, Brother, I take many medications so I cannot fast when I said to her to fast. And I said, Sister, can you put down the medication for a couple of days and fast with the Lord? At least one day. I'll see about that. I'll let you know, Brother. What did the Lord say to me? If they're serious, hallelujah. Yes. Like the Israelite to Moses. Lord, Moses, you speak for us. Moses, you speak for us. You know, the Lord knows every heart. He knows everybody. And that's how he knows if people are serious. If you tell a person to fast a day, two or three, and they say, oh, yes, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm going to fast for this. Then they're serious. And that's what the Lord wants, commitment. That's called commitment. You commit it to the Lord.
Okay? And when you are committed to the Lord is committed to you. Look at it this way. Jesus says, I honor those, God says, that honor me. Read it. I honor those that honor me, he says. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You honor God in what God is asking you to do. God will honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So if you honor, I honor those that honor me. Hallelujah. If you honor him, he'll honor you. Riches and glory come to them that honor him. So that's the same as you honoring him, turning to him, and him blessing you for it. God, all God wants to do is take care of you when you turn to him. That's what he wants to do. He's not your enemy. He is your friend, your brother, your father, your savior. He'll take care of you. And he'll send his angels around you to protect you. Okay? He's not against you at all. On the contrary, he is for you. And if you're serving him and you go through something hard and difficult, he'll take care of you through the process. Okay? He'll take care of you. A lot of time, God will take something or someone out of your life that you really want to keep in your life. And God says, no, I want to remove this person from your life because I want you to spend more time with me. Because before he took the person from your life, an example, you said, God, I don't have time to seek you and serve you and because I got to take care of this person. Then the Lord said, but I want you to serve me. Let me remove that person from your life. You see, never use a child or a person to tell the Lord, I don't have time, Lord, to fast, to pray and seek you because I got to take care of this child. Or I got to be with my sister. Or I got to do this for my son. Or I got to be with my husband. I don't have time to fast, Lord, and pray. Those excuses to God are now valid. Because it's like you'll be an idolater of that someone. And any God, what did God say? He'll bring the idol from among his people. If you'll be an idolater and God says he's going to bring down the idol from among us, what do you think is going to happen? I remember Sister Glenda said in one time, the Lord says to her that in this end time, he will remove in person family from people, people from people that has been in their life as a stumbling block, she says, not letting them come closer to the Lord. And God says, those relationships, I'm going to remove them in order to begin to set my people free, to come closer to me and serve me. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. There are things that you wanted, but God said, no, I got to do it the other way, my son, my daughter, in order to give you the time to seek me and serve me. And not give me no more excuse why you are not seeking me and you're not serving me as I've been calling you to do so. You see? God will always protect you in his relationship with you and keep you and your family also. He'll protect them, he'll keep them. But you got to always put him first. If you use your family as an excuse not to commit to the Lord and not to seek the Lord as he's been calling you to do so, God will remove your family from you. I'm sorry to have to say this to you, but it's true. And you know it's true because it's been happening to some of you. Simply. He does it. God is jealous with us about our relationship with him. God says, I will not share my glory with men. We are in God and we glorify him. The Bible tells us to glorify him, to bring him glory and honor and praise. He had chosen us to. And when there's something in our way, to stop us from doing that, God has to remove it. Even though if we love that something or someone that are in our life that are stumbling block to prevent us to come closer to Him, to serve Him and worship Him. If I ask you, what's stopping you from committing your life 100% to God? You may say, my daughter, my wife, my parent-in-law, whatever you use, my dog, my cat, whatever it is, you may end up losing that thing sooner than later. And then you're crying back to God, God, why do you take this person away from my life? You know that I love this person. But if you search deeply into your heart and life, it was because that person, you had told God, when God wanted you to pray and fast, that you had to take care of that person or be with that person or spend time with that person instead of spending time with God. And God will not share His glory with men. There's no other God before Him. Idolatry, the line to idolatry is so thin, and we cross it so many times. The line to idolatry, money, could be car, house, family, friends, children, relationship. It's a thin line. The line of idolatry is thin in our lives. And sometimes we step over the line and we ignore the line. And when God put His hand and makes us go back behind the line, we cry, oh God, why? You know that I wanted to keep this. You know that I want to have this relationship with this guy that I really like, Lord. His blue, beautiful eyes, Lord. It was him. He was the one. The Lord says, no. He was not the one I chosen. He was the one you chosen for you, but not the one I chosen. He was not pleasing to me. He was keeping you from having a relationship with me, the Lord would say. Or her. Or them. Or the thing. Or the money. I have a great man of God friend of mine who was a millionaire. And God made him lose all his million and become practically broke to serve Him. And learn to let it go and be broke again. He owned restaurants, bars. He had it all going for him. But the Lord was calling him, but he had stepped over that thin line, that invisible thin line of idolatry and much more. And the Lord was wanting him to bring back behind the line. But he was going out with his friend to drink and party and fun. Because when you have a lot of money, that's what people usually do. Until the day came that the Lord pulled him hard back again. Lost his bar. Began to lose also the million. Became broke. He's now a great man of God. Share his testimony with me. Wow, it's a great testimony. But how the Lord did everything, my brother and sister, the Lord helped him to go through it. Because he was already used to that life. It was for years he did that. But the Lord was calling him because everything else was idolatry, an idol, a god to him. Everything you serve, anything you serve and dedicate your life to is your God. If you dedicate your life to Jesus, that's your God. If you dedicate your life to money, that's your God. That's your God. If you dedicate your life to your job, that's your God. And if you only have time for your car, that's your God. Your family can be your God. Anything that will take the place of God in your life is your God. Anything that takes the place of your real God is your God. And that's a sin and idolatry. And no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're going that way, you're heading straight to hell. So God, in order to save you from ending up in hell, if you repent and say, God, help me, God said, all right, I'll get my hand into your life. Because you already crossed a line a long time ago, and I've been giving you a break. I'm going to get you back with me, but you're going to have to lose that you love. And then you lose it. I heard a testimony that really broke my heart years ago of an evangelist. It really broke my heart in a way that it just left me thinking. This man and his wife, evangelist, had a child, a boy. And because they could not have children for a long time, they pray, and God gave him a child. It was like he was using his child not to preach the Lord's message anymore. Or making an excuse not to go to the places God was sending him to. Now that he has this child, they plan everything around the child, but not everything as God wanted them to. And one day they were not in the house and there was a fire and the child burned. And this evangelist cried out to God. He was preaching the word when he got a phone call. They were trying to get a hold of him that his child was burned in a fire in his house. My brother insisted. And he really wanted to get mad at God, because that's what we do. When we don't understand things, a lot of time we want to get mad at him. Sometimes that comes normal in us. Really get mad. I don't want to hear it, we say. But it's not the right attitude. But sometimes that's the attitude of people. He was so bad, and wife and I and him cried together. They cry and cry, why, God, why? Before he got back to his house after the fire, the fire department was there. They had turned down the fire. They couldn't rescue the boy. He was dead. They had left the boy with the babysitter. The babysitter was cooking something on the stove. And I don't know if it was a pressure cooker. I don't know what it was, but she went to the bathroom and exploded. It caused a fire all over the house and the place got burned down. It happened in New York. And they could not rescue the boy. He burned with the fire. A boy that they really wanted. After they got it, they lost him. A lot of times, the things that we really want, when that thing becomes an idol, you may lose it, even the someone. And I don't want to cause you grief and pain. I just want to cause you, I just want you to meditate on the will of God tonight. Get back with the Lord in your meditation with him and meditate on the will of God. And ask yourself, is God first in my life? Am I really putting him first? Or there's something else or someone else in my life that has taken the place of God, that it should not be so. Because we're entering the years of recompense, is the word of the prophet. We're entering the years of restoration. Recompense, yes, and then restoration. Recompense is what you deserve. Restoration is where you should be. Recompense can remove the things that you've been holding to for many years. But restoration is to heal you and put you in place where you should be or where you should have been. Okay? So remember the two words, recompense and restoration. Are you at recompense now or you are in restoration? Have you already passed recompense? And you are entering restoration. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This was not planned. This was not planned. I didn't plan this. But God knows every heart. We pray that God will speak to us, and He'll do it. He'll give us a word, personal word to us, that will help, that will carry us to the week that is before us. My brother and sister, hallelujah. We are His branches, and He says that every branch that bear no fruit will be taken away, but every branch that bear fruit will be purged, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now as you are cleansed of the word which I have spoken to you, Jesus said. His word cleanses us. But when the word, my brother and sister, take away that things that bear no fruit in our lives, that's when it hurts. The things that bear no fruit are the things that maybe you're holding on to. The person, the thing, or the matter that you're holding to so much. He'll remove it. God, why? Why do you do this to me? You're supposed to be for me, not against me, some people say. He asked for you 100%. And if you trust Him, you'll see it. Okay? David said he never saw no righteousness forsaken. No righteousness forsaken. You will never be forsaken as a son and daughter of the Lord. Never. He will always take care of us. But we need to learn and say and get there by mule, by cars, by train, or by horse, someone said, to obedience. To where Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. We need to get there by train, our brother says, by mule, by bus, by car. However we get there, we need to get there. It's important that we get there. Okay? Paul got on his donkey and went. Other got on the mule and went. Other went on the camel and went to get there. Now we got car. Get in your car. Get there. Walk there if you have to. Run. When it has to do with sin, fornication, flee from it. The word flee is fly. I don't know how we'll fly, but we got to get out of there. Thank you, Lord. Get out of there. Thank you, Lord. Say no. Learn to say no. Remember, no is anointed as yes. Remember that word I shared last year? No has the same anointing as yes. So people feel bad to say no to someone. But it's the same anointed word. What, you think yes is more anointed than no? No, they're both anointed. Unless your yay be yay or your nay be nay, they're both anointed, Jesus said. Let it be. If you need to say no, don't feel bad. The devil wants to make you feel bad when you say no. But this is the moment when God is telling you, say no to the coronavirus by saying, don't feel bad. Why do you have to feel bad for saying no? There's a lot of things in your life you need to say no to. Okay? Don't think no is not anointed. So yes, they're both anointed. Say it no, very anointed. And if you need to practice saying no, get there in your room and begin to say no. No. I said no. Because this is an anointing and no as it is in yes. Thank you, Lord. Learn to say no to the things that are not of God. We need to practice this. We need to stop. Okay? And look at the person in the eye and say, no. Okay? And when we get there, my brother and sister, then we're walking in obedience as God wants us to say. Because Jesus says, let your name be nay, your yea be yea, and your nay be yet nay. Say no. When you have to, say yes when you have to. Say them both. But don't let the devil take one of those yes or no and then use it to accuse you. Buy it. understand what our Rabbi Jesus says. Nay, nay, yay, yay. Say it. Say no. Say yes. And don't let the devil accuse you. Because it's about your life with God. Your personal life. My brother and sister. Okay? You're going to be in the situation when you need to say no. Or you need to say yes. Same ball with confidence and say, okay. And just say no. Or say yes. And whatever the outcome will be for the church to say no to the coronavirus vaccine, it's going to be simply what it is. God will help us with the outcome. And we're going to have to continue to say no to it. Some have said yes to it because they refuse to say no. They felt convicted to say saying yes to it because they thought if they say no, their boss was going to fire them. They were going to lose their job. But if they were to say no, they didn't understand that God would have touched the boss to, their boss to find another solution and say, all right, it is your right. You have the right to say no. I respect that. Okay, it's fine. No problem. No harm. But because you were afraid of your boss and saying you're fired, when you say no, you went and say yes and got vaccinated. And now you find yourself wondering whether you are going to make it to heaven. Well, God's going to open a window for you to remove that vaccine from your body. But now you learn that it was better for you to say no than thinking if you say no, you would have lost your job. No, my sister. No, my brother. Always trust the Lord in regard to any matter. We are all in the same boat with Jesus, remember. None of us are better than one another. We're on the same boat. We're all learning with the Lord. Okay, Jesus is still the captain of the boat. We're learning with him. Let's continue to repent to him and ask him for help. We don't know what this boat will lead us to, but we know that whatever the boat will lead us to, Jesus is the captain, and he is the end of the rope. He is the beginning, and he is the end. When we get to the end, we'll get there with Jesus, and we're going to be fine, and we're going to be taken care, because the Lord takes care of his children. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us, and he will not forsake us. Amen. Join us Tuesday night, and God willing, we'll have another Bible study. My brother and sister, we begin with chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll go to chapter 2. We'll share the encounter that the Apostle Paul had in the nation of Rome, in which my brother and sister was very corrupted, full of gays and lesbians and so much other sin, sacrificed to the gods and so much more. We need to learn. And so we will not be deceived. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We are sharing God's knowledge through his word every Tuesday night. Hallelujah. On Sunday we share his revelation. But on Tuesday we share his Bible. We study his word together. So as we share and God gives you, don't stop from sharing in the chat room. Share. Just share. Share. Brother Benjamin will join us whenever he has time to, and he'll join us, my brother and sister. Amen. But if the Lord gives you a word to share with us, don't hesitate to email and say, Brother Obi, I want to share this word. Amen. Because we're not here to say no or yes 100%, but we're here to help one another. That for sure is the fact. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us. Keep us in your prayer. Let's continue to repent. We know that Jesus is coming, my brother and sister, for his bride that have made herself ready. Keep us in your prayer. We'll keep you in our prayer. Whatever emergency comes to your life that needs our prayer, don't hesitate to email us. My email, I believe everyone practically knows, okay, is Sapa999@gmail.com, okay, for prayer requests, okay, especially emergency prayer. We bring it before the Lord and the Lord will take care of us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? The Lord will take care of us, my brother and sister. We also have our internet page, which is thelordshour.org. It's the one we use, my brother and sister. We had thelordshour.com. No, not anymore. Thelordshour.org is the one we use where you can follow us. I will plan to update the page, but you can follow our information, my brother and sister. Let's stay together with one another in prayer. Remember, as the Apostle Paul says, from prison to the brothers and sisters, I am with you in spirit. I am with you in spirit. We are one in spirit in the Lord. Amen. My brother and sisters, I didn't think I was going to preach no more than 1 hour tonight because I still was not feeling good. But I feel the Lord has given me strength tonight to finish the 3 hours because I already shared over an hour in Spanish. And so this is now over 4 hours preaching. I didn't think I was going to be able to. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord gives us health. And the Lord gives us strength. And I've been able to do so. Oh, glory be unto the Lord, my brother and sister. He is merciful. He is good. Keep us in your prayer. Thank you, sister, for praying for us. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I know that a lot of you are doing it quietly. You're not telling anyone amen to that. Praise the Lord. Thank you to each and one of you in the Lord. I love each and one of you in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just continue to repent and seek the Lord. Okay? As we pray for one another, the Lord will give you strength. The Lord will make sure you are there with his presence and his spirit in your life, helping you through the struggle and through the difficult situation. Okay? Email me whenever you can. Amen. Even to say hello and hi. Just email me. Hallelujah. We'll keep everyone in prayer, my brother and sister. The Lord will take care of us. That's our trust in the Lord. The Lord will take care of us, his children, his people, as Father has said to me, my brother and sister, and the Lord has said. Okay? We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. The Lord will definitely take care of us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Shalom, shalom.